AJ, Bridge and Spider for breakfast.
Pod podcast, whatever that means.
AJ, Bridge and Spider on the podcast. We had our good mate Adam Brand on. He's playing at the Mudgerabar show with his band this weekend. And we asked him which rides, that is, at the show, he wouldn't go on ever again.
What about your mate Clive? He was on as well.
Oh, yeah, good on him.
He's not happy with Clive. We got Dobbo on to talk about the State of Origin, which fired Bridge up. She's not happy. Origin on a Sunday. She is flat.
Oh, hey, a lot of calls did back me up. Speaking of flat, why do I ask Spider about my dress sense? I did, and he totally ruined my weekend with what he thought about my new jacket.
Wake up with AJ, Bridge and Spider for breakfast.
Morning, rockin'.
Good morning, AJ, Bridge and Spider.
Feisty Rod. We got a massive show today, huge show. Give me five for kids. We got Adam Brand on the show with the Mudgerabar show being this weekend. One of the best shows on the Gold Coast.
Yeah, you know it's cold when the Mudgerabar show kicks in and you all get rugged up and wear your beanies.
And I've got a huge spray that a lot of people are going to agree with. I don't want to go down this path, but you kind of have to bring it to everybody's attention.
Oh.
That's a bit wrong. And outside of that, we've got Clive Palmer too.
Yes. Hopefully he has a better press conference with us, Rod, than he did yesterday. The sprinklers went off.
Yes.
He got abused.
It was all a bit of a debacle yesterday.
But if you were there, it sounds like you would have got into him too. All he did was mention him in the kitchen and you went off.
He was fiery, right? Oh, you would have driven over the one would about 350 metres after we brought up the name Clive.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything more because Clive doesn't mind going to court.
Now, also, we've got Origin Minutes this week because of our second game on Sunday, which Bridge is hating.
Yeah, I'll be talking about that after 8 as well.
Yeah, but yesterday, old mate was pretty good, wasn't he? 9 out of 10.
Unbelievable. But, hey, you still a chance. If you get 9, you'll go to a...
sudden death.
A sudden death. So your chance to be in Sydney watching the State of Origin 2 at ANZ Stadium on Sunday night. Huge.
And speaking of quizzes... H.A. Bridge and Spider's Name That Year is next.
Here we go. It's H.A. Bridge and Spider's Name That Year.
Contest we play at this time, Monday to Friday, where Bridge and Spider are up against each other, try and work out the year that a piece of history was on. Now, we're going to sport first up, and given that the World Cup is happening at the moment,
well, it's not really because
there's a hullabaloo.
There is. Optus is supposed to be streaming the World Cup and all the networks went down. So it froze their screens. Nobody could watch it, which I thought ends up a nil or draw anyway. Mm. So it doesn't really matter if it's frozen. But SBS has taken over and showing every game.
Okay, right.
Sex before soccer.
All right. Well, this was an incident.
That's what SBS stands for.
Oh, that's right. I'm a bit slow when it comes to soccer. I just tune out.
Yeah. Well, here we go. You might win
this.
Okay.
Rightio.
All right. See if we can work this out.
Okay.
It was an incident in the lead up to a particular World Cup involving an Australian player. Here we go. Name that year.
Fabio Grosso. He's in behind Marco Bresciano. Fabio Grosso. Disaster for Australia at the end. And would you believe it's Lucas Neal?
Oh, Fabio Grosso.
So it was an incident involving Lucas Neal, the Australian player, that had all sorts of repercussions for a particular year going into the World Cup.
Well, it's only been a couple. The last one was
Aloisi, was it?
Aloisi.
That's all I know.
It would have been...
That's all I know.
06.
Yeah, it was.
Because it could have been... 2018, which is now. 2014, we didn't make it. 2010, we didn't make it. 06 was the last one we made.
Excellent. Just glad that question's gone. You move on. I'm glad you answered correctly. Well done, everyone.
Well done, Peter.
Yes.
Okay. Bridge, you'll know this one. Name that year.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case for loving you. No pills gonna cure my ear. I got a bad case for loving you.
The album was called Clues when it came out, and the biggest hit that Robert Palmer, he's been dead quite a long time now. Robert Palmer died of lung cancer.
Yeah, he has been dead for, I'd say, over 10 years now.
Yeah, oh, easy, Bridge.
Okay, I am going to say, and I normally like even numbers, I'm going to go an oddie here. I'm going to go Bridge, Robert Palmer, Doctor, 1985.
No.
Fraction earlier.
Here we go.
No, it was.
Right.
Because
Was it? So was it before or after Simply Irresistible, you think?
With the album Clues, Blues Clues. Yes, it was 83.
No. Rodney, do you want to have a crack at Dr. Doctor, Bad Case of Loving You?
This was one of his first international hits.
Uh-huh.
Correct.
Yes.
I think we were looking at the early 80s, 81?
No.
Oh! We're going to be
around the money.
1979.
Really? Can I say, you know, obviously the Simply Irresistible. When I first moved to Cairns to do radio, and I love regional television ads.
Yes.
And there was one with a whole lot of mechanics lined up doing the Simply Irresistible thing, and the song was Car Line Mufflers, Simply Inexhaustible, and they were all doing the thing together. It was hilarious. Anyway, that was just a blast from the past.
Okay. Yeah. Well, who was closest to the pin there?
Me. Okay. Or Rodney was.
And then, so you've
then
won
you.
The day.
Won the day. Yeah. Great. Well done. Well,
okay.
Well, Tuesday. Golf club. What a day. Thank you very much. I'd like to thank... No.
We have got one more segment. As we do, we go to the movies. Name that year.
Who put you up to it? Was it this new man, this Mr. Keating?
Are we just playing around out here? Or do we mean what we say?
Vision, honor, discipline.
Rip, rip, tear.
What is this Dead Poet Society? I want names.
This is a battle, a war. And the casualties could be your hearts and souls.
For the first time in my whole life, I know what I want to do.
Great movie Dead featuring Poets. Robin Williams.
Yes, it Dead, really was.
Yeah. Very moving movie, wasn't it? Dead Poets Society.
It certainly was. Now, I think I was around grade 10, which would have been 1991 when it came out. So I'm going to say Bridge 1990.
No.
Oh.
Yeah, look, being a movie buff that I'm not, I would have said later in the 90s, I was going to get 95.
No. You didn't say Spider 1995 either, but... Anyway.
Spider 1995. Mm.
Rodney, muck this one up for us. I mean, mop this one.
Yes, mop it up.
Mop it up.
I reckon this was in the about the mid to late 80s. I remember watching this movie in my later years of high school. 1986?
No, 1989. So Bridget wins with 1990 Clives at the pin.
Rod's been off a bit.
Been a bit off, you know what, because we rattled him saying Clive Palmer's going to be on the show today. He's not happy.
He is rattled. You better pick it up before Nobby's tonight.
Yes.
Trivia night,
yes. all the pertinent questions there at Nobby's Ark, 7 o'clock.
It's Gold Money 2.5's Gimme 5 for Kids, helping sick kids of the Gold and Tweed Coasts. To find out more or donate, go to goldfm.com.au.
Life is a journey where you stumble and fall, but I'm okay when I lie down in your arms.
Yeah, June is the month for Gimme 5 for Kids at this radio station, and we're right in the middle of it, right off the back of a huge day last Thursday with Case for Kids when we absolutely took over the southern end of the coast. And again, thank you so much to everyone in that region who contributed an amazing amount of money for our Case for Kids last week on Thursday. Coming into Friday, we're all got a bit of a golf day on, and mostly sunny conditions for Friday.
It's going to be huge. It's a festival of golf at Club Parkwood, so the old Parkwood International, where the Gold Coast Titans head training ground is. But this is actually set up perfectly for us because Bridge... You're the queen of putt-putt.
Hey, you've seen me in action recently.
I'm all ears. And it's got the best putt-putt course there in Australia, I reckon. So the Club Parkwood, it's going to be a festival of golf all day. It's got a simulator, golf simulator, so you don't have to walk too far, which is great for AJ.
Perfect. Just, I'll be manning the putt-putt for a while. Yep. You can take me on.
And AJ will be in the simulator, having a couple of frothies while you just drive a couple of balls into the screen. And then myself and Rob McLeod will be out on the course itself.
How exciting.
Yes, that's right, trying to dig our way through to China.
It's a beautiful course, though.
Yeah, it is a great course. It's a big setup. If you haven't been out there for a while, it has changed completely. We did
bonding day.
We did a bonding day. We also did a Christmas party about 3 years ago, years ago out of there, and it was awesome. But it's so big now. With the Gold Coast Titans there, it's an awesome setup. So all day Friday we're going to be out there. Make sure you come down and chuck a couple of dollars in the tin. Be a part of it. If you want to play golf, put a team in, ring Club Parkwood.
Yeah, isn't that good? Festival of golf. I love that word, festival. Chuck it in with golf. Everyone's happy.
And, of course, this is why we do Give Me Five for Kids. This is Anita, the mother of Lily.
So Lily came down with the flu at 18 months old, and so I took her to the doctor. We got given antibiotics. Wasn't getting as well as what I'd expect, so I took her back to the doctor. They increased the dose. Still wasn't, she wasn't reacting the way that I'd expect, so my husband took her to the hospital the first time. They said we were doing all the right things, and then increased the dose again, sent her home, and then the fourth time on the Monday, so I gave her the antibiotics. I came home from work, gave her antibiotics at like midnight, and then she just vomited everything up, and I knew that that was it. Like, the antibiotics was the only thing they were offering, so took her back to the hospital at about 8 o'clock in the morning, and then it began with, luckily, Christabel came around the corner when we got admitted into the ED, and then she just started doing all her magical stuff, as doctors do, and then by the afternoon, we'd Mater Children's Hospital and got up there. Lily got taken by the ambulance, and we got up there about 6 o'clock at night, and then, unfortunately, they have to investigate everything, even though the Gold Coast Hospital had already done that. So they went back through, and we got back into, they saw fluid growing, developing on her shoulder and hip, and they knew she was septic, so they put her into the intensive care unit in Peds at Mater Children's Hospital, and then went to operate on her at 9 o'clock the very next morning. So about 4 o'clock in the morning, we got into that room. Went into her, and she had got into cardiac arrest, and then they realised that it had spread to her heart from her hip or shoulder, whichever way it went.
Wow! So it was just an out and out crucial infection.
Yeah. Well, as far I was oblivious to everything. It wasn't until we went into the hospital room after they had rung and said, "You've got to come back up into the room." They sat us down with the heart surgeon and all of them and said, "She's got to have open heart surgery. She's got 97% chance of mortality rate because of how the infection had spread and where it had attached to her heart." So we're very fortunate that they did get it.
The Mudgerabar Show this weekend, and our good buddy Adam Brand joins us on the telephone.
It's going to be a huge show. It's their 90th show this year, and they got free shuttle buses as well. It's all open all day Saturday and Sunday. Check out their website, because we know it's one of the best shows here on the Gold Coast.
It is a great show. And Adam, have you played before?
But this is the first time I've played at the Mudgerabar Show, and what a great year it's going to be. It's 90th anniversary. So, you know, they're pulling out all the stops. They've got the light horses doing a display. They've got fireworks. They've got lasers. They've got a whole bunch of stuff. So I'm looking forward to it. I think me and the boys in the band are going to have all this stuff going off around us. And, it's going to be great.
How do you go when you are with rides? Because the older I get, I am no good on rides. Can we get you on a few there at the Mudgerabar Show?
I am the worst you'll ever meet. I'll take you back to when I was 13, and I had this little girlfriend, you see. Aww. And went to the local show. I was living in Victoria in Colac, and they had the octopus.
Oh,
so, you know, you remember the octopus?
Yes.
So I said, "Come on, babe, let's go on it." You know, we're killing the octopus. I come off it, and I hurled all over my shoes and her shoes, that relationship didn't go very far. not many rides. I'm fine in race cars and jet skis and motorbikes, that kind of stuff, but not stuff that goes round.
Adam Brand playing at the Mudgerabar Show. Is there a ride at the show you'd never go on, Bridge?
Oh, look, when you're older, you just can't. Oh. I don't know. Don't get me started on the Gravitron, but I can tell you a really quick, shocking story. Yeah. I'll admit it.
Okay.
The Zipper. You remember the Zipper? Yeah. And at the Ecker, and it's horrible, and there's cages, and they throw you around. I was on a date. Now, this is about, I was 15, at the Ecker. I got that scared and excited and laughed that hard I wet my pants. No, I did. I tied a jacket around my waist. I was on a date. Are you kidding me?
Oh, poor thing.
I remember the first time Cherie come up here. I come up here with my daughter Caitlin at the time. We had first met, and we'd had a big night on the night before. And the next day, Caitlin, she's only six, but she wanted to go to SeaWorld. Oh. So we took her to SeaWorld. Oh. Sheree, a little bit hungover, and she wanted to go on the pirate ship. And Sheree, trying to be the nice stepmum as she was, said, yeah, she'll go on it. And Caitlin didn't want to get off it. And there's no one in the line. So she went on about five times. And Caitlin's, how come Sheree's going for a walk into the bushes, Dad? She was crying.
I just think when you're older, you just can't deal with that inertia and that feeling, can you?
What ride would you never go on? Give us a bell here, 13:27:10 at Gold 92.5. We were chatting with our good friend Adam Brand, who's playing first time at the Mudger Bar show this weekend. We know what a great show it is. It's a fabulous, really, real heartfelt country show.
Proper country show.
Yes, yeah. It is. It's a great show, and Adam's playing there. And we were chatting about what he'd ridden on, the rides at shows. What's that thing that he went on out at?
The DC roller coaster. Hypercoaster.
Wouldn't get me on a roller coaster, Bridge.
You were looking at it and you just went, there is not a chance. You know never to say that to us on radio, but anyway.
And you look at the giant drop and all those, but the Gravitron, it's brought so many people unstuck, and we are asking you, what rides have brought you unstuck? I was sick when I got out of the Gravitron, because they say if you spew in the Gravitron, it actually goes straight back onto you and then slowly moves to the next person along. But you can't control it because you can't stop. And it's so hot in there. I remember it was Luna Park.
That's right.
Because there's no air. There's no oxygen that gets in there, and you just spin hard out. There's no upside to the Gravitron at all.
No upside. I was upside down in it and didn't get the right way in time and hit my head on the bottom when the gravity stopped.
Brett at Currumbin, what wouldn't you go back on?
Probably the zipper, mate.
You're the same. You're the same. It just throws you around, doesn't it? You just feel like the carriage is going to fly off.
Not wrong. It's hard to hold it down.
And you know what makes it worse is the food they serve at the show doesn't complement the rides that you go on.
Yeah, Fairy Floss and the Dagwood Dog don't really come up well.
Thanks, Brett.
Thanks, Brett. All right, we got Katie here. Hello, Katie and Varsity. How are you going?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. So what ride would you never go on again?
It's actually the teacup ride. So I took my nieces and nephews. I thought I'd be, a bit of a good auntie. I took my nieces and nephews on the teacup ride, which is really simple, but you spin a lot. So after about the third time around, I had to ask the operator to stop so I could get off it. and so I did have a bit of a stew next to the ride. How embarrassing.
I think it's a thing when you're older, you just can't handle it like when you're younger.
Couldn't cope.
No.
Could not cope.
Thanks, Jane.
I don't know why I do this, AJ. Every time, I don't know why. AJ, you're a gentleman and, you may not agree with my dress sense sometimes, but you're still not too crazy about it. You'll still say that looks lovely okay, I might dress a bit different at times, but that's just my style.
Yeah. Each to their own.
However.
What have I done?
I should know, AJ. You be quiet for a moment.
Okay.
I should know. After working with this guy, yes, the one I'm pointing to here, Peter Spider Everett.
Long time.
For a good 8 years. Don't ask him what he thinks about what I'm wearing, because he will be honest. And often his honesty goes way beyond honesty, and it goes to a degree that I can just never pull back from. So this is what happened right on Friday. I bought a great new camping jacket. And I like my clothes from the 70s and all my flares and everything.
Yeah.
So I bought this beautiful secondhand from Etsy. Burnt orange and brown plaid Sherpa lined lumberjack jacket. It's rare. You can't get these 70s lumberjack jackets anymore.
Lumberjack.
And I call it the lumber jacket.
Oh, yeah.
And, because I was going camping, as my mum says, always keep your kidneys warm, Bridge. Always keep your kidneys warm. Yeah. And it was beautiful. And I'm thinking, it's cool and hipster and 70s with a bit of Woodstock, a bit of 60s in it. And I come in and I say to Peter Everett, Peter, what do you think of my new jacket? And what do you say instantly? Come on. No, I want you to say it.
It looks like Humphrey Bebear.
Look over there, it's Humphrey Bebear.
It's like Humphrey Bebear.
He has best friends everywhere.
You know the jacket he wears.
He's 50, Humphrey.
Great. That really helps.
Peter.
Helps, matters, doesn't it? Now, the thing is, this is the bit that's tough. He's right. As soon as he said that... I've goggled Humphrey and his vest. I've gone, oh, you bugger.
Because you've got all the wool on the inside, that looks like Humphrey's skin.
Yes. How attractive. So what do? I go out and go to the toilet. I come back and you found something to fashion a tie.
I'll put the big yellow tie on.
Yes, and the jacket. You've gone into Aldobe on air and going, who do I look like? And he's gone, Humphrey, be better straight away. So here I am. Going camping, and I'm walking around everywhere. I had to go to Bunnings on the way to camping, and Jamie and my partner's with me. We're going, and all I can think is everyone's thinking I'm Humphrey Bear. I had a strut on me before you said that, and now I can't unthink that. So now to the point that all weekend, Jamie thought it was hilarious to call me Humpy. Humpy Humphrey. Humphrey. He's game, isn't he?
I hope he was calling you Humpy for the right reasons.
He was. So to the point that at one stage, as we know, Humphrey B. Bear doesn't wear pants. And at one stage, I had to get out of the van and go and use the toilet. And I only had my jacket on, my undies, and maybe my Uggies. And he goes, oh, look how cute you are. You actually do look like Humphrey B. Bear. So I continued to be like Humphrey B. Bear, and I didn't speak to him for the rest of the trip.
He hasn't touched the ground.
Yeah, this is a bloke that's got outfits dressed like a palm tree so he can get all the information. He hides in wheelie bins. He hides around corners. He gets all the latest scoops. We're talking about Dobbo from Luke, Libby and Dobbo. Now, Dobbo, thanks for joining us. You are all over the Maroons camp. But what do you reckon of the selection table? Because you've got the sides now. Queensland want to pick up their defence. Have they got the side to beat New South Wales on Sunday night?
I hope so. I'm not 100% sure, but I hope so. I really do. Sorry, guys. I'm just trying to deal with why I'm talking to you. I don't know if anybody's ever been through this before, but a frozen hose. I'm trying to water my veggies, and my hose is completely frozen. That's how bloody cold it is this morning.
Yeah.
Really?
Anyway,
yeah.
You know what you can do?
Tell me.
Do you need to go to the toilet? No,
that will warm
the hose up. That will defrost it.
Neighbours
will be wrapped.
Don't worry about the frozen hose. Hey, listen, this side from Queensland, I think, has got what it takes. And it's all about the bloke who's going to be on the bench, and that is Kalyn Ponga. No matter what anybody says, and I spoke to Kevin Walters 2 days ago on Sunday night, and I said to him, what's the story with Dylan Napa? He said, mate, highly doubtful. He was in a moon boot yesterday. He's been given till tomorrow morning. They'll train tomorrow morning, and if he's not right, he is out. They're not going to risk it. It's such a quick turnaround, this camp. Tim Glasby will come in. Now, I don't believe Tim Glasby will start. One of our very own, my understanding is Jai Arrow, will likely come into the starting side, and they'll push Josh Maguire forward into the front row, and that would be great. Jai Arrow, he was underrated what he did on game one. He's a really good footballer, a Gold Coast Titan, and we want to see him. And they've kept Jared Wallace, which is good. You know, they've said they want to see more from him. He will start again. So that's a good news story.
What about the other one? What about Ryan James? Is he a chance?
Oh, I don't know if he is. I hope so for him. I really do. My understanding was that they were leaning towards Matt Pryor from St. George. But, geez, I'd like to see Ryan James get a chance.
Yeah.
He's been outstanding this year for the Titans. Really good.
All right, let's talk about the main issue.
What's
and
happened?
I don't know why anyone else has this issue, but I'm a purist. I'm the only one in the room that's
Bridge.
A...
you got to get over this.
Hey, listen here, Tasmanian, and you two Mexicans.
Hey, look at me.
You be quiet. Dobbo?
Yeah.
I'm not happy with Sunday. Why is it
why?
Sunday? I'll tell you why.
Is it because the voice is on?
No.
Is it because Love Island's on?
No,
what
the voice...
What is the reason you don't like it?
Well, maybe if you listen, and maybe if you realise the voice, the finale has happened.
The reason is
because I like to wear my Origin jersey the day before to go into work to stir the pot. What am I going to do, go to the Pines, Eleanora, and just harass strangers on a Sunday? I need that build-up. I need the big build-up the day before. That's what it's all about, and I'm not happy with the Sunday.
Ridge. You love a drink, right? Why don't you go down to the local pub, wear your jersey, get everybody excited, get full of diesel, come home, watch the game, and then come in and stir everybody up the next morning. Like, seriously, of all things, like, people are upset because of ratings.
No.
People are upset because it's going to be late because they've got kids to school. You're upset because you can't wear your jersey and stir everybody up.
It's a tradition.
Seriously.
It is a tradition. Hey, listen. I used to do this when I was even at school as a kid. We'd all turn up in our jerseys and we'd all give each other a bit of rough and tumble and it was all on. Even kids can't do it in the lead up. And, you know, I just think it's weird. No. If you want to make it a weekend, make it a Saturday and I'll be happy. Don't stuff with the day of worship.
Oh, the day of worship.
All right, I'm reaching here, but come on. Seriously. No, I'm a purist. I just think it should be a Wednesday. That's what it's about. I have a tradition with my dad, and we have it down pat. Anyway, I'm not happy.
Well, it's all over. Well, what did you do in 2001? When Alan Langer came back out of retirement, what did you do that day?
Yeah, I just suffered it, but it doesn't mean I was happy with it. Doesn't mean I want it back, Tobo.
Oh, look, I think it's a good thing. Sunday night footy, I can't wait to be there. I cannot wait to be there.
All right, Dobbo. Backs against the wall in Sydney. Can they win, Queensland?
No.
Well, but you're a New South Welshman.
No. Look,
What do you mean he sleeps on both sides of the bed?
If New South Wales, I've bred a couple of Queenslanders. I've got another one on the way. I'm marrying one. I've got to be given some sort of honorary role, but I was born in the land of the Waratah. Look... I think if New South Wales stuff this up, mate, their Origin cancel it because you know what, you can't lose the players that Queensland have lost. The champions that have retired, the champions that are injured, that have been out, and this new brigade that Kevin Walters is putting together, like the expectation, what they delivered in Game One was outstanding. I just think that this mountain, and I'm not trying to, it could be just too big to climb for them. And I hope I'm wrong. I really do. But I just think it's going to be an enormous challenge.
We've got heart.
We'll check in with it before the weekend. Thanks, big fella.
See you, mate.
Dobbo from Luke, Libby and Dobbo. What?
It's very nice.
What?
He's trimmed down, Dobbo.
What'd you say?
I didn't suggest anything. I just said big fella. Like you are. Big fella. That's all.
Come on, let's not chew the fat and move on.
I got the veggies wrong, Bridge. It was Brussels sprouts
the bloke.
Yeah, a terrible story too.
Well, he was sentenced to 4 months. This is a dad. He was sentenced to 4 months in the community doing some community service after forcing his 8-year-old daughter to sit at the table for 13 hours after an uneaten serving of Brussels sprouts. The judge said it was disturbing. And because the daughter wasn't even permitted to go to the bathroom. I mean, that's too far. But look, you have to go tough love when it comes to your kids and with veggies. Because I tell you, the parents that cook separate meals for each kid and hubby or whatever, that's just silly.
It is. And these days with all the dietary confinements and everything, you sit there and go, no. Because I remember growing up, well, we used to try and hide it. My mum would cook some Brussels sprouts and I used to hide it in my pocket and then go to the toilet.
Mm.
And then if we didn't like something and one of my sisters liked it, we kind of traded off where mum would get up away from the table. But my mum went to the next level. We didn't have to sit there all night and she would never reheat it. She sometimes threatened, but she had a dinner at 4 o'clock.
What?
We had our dinner as soon as we got home from school.
Really?
Because she reckons that we ate that much garbage after we got home from school.
Of course, good idea.
She said, this is why you don't eat your dinner. Now we're going to have dinner at 4 o'clock. So undies.
Undies, your mum.
My mum would get us all in there. Before you were allowed to go out to play, we had to eat our dinner at 4 o'clock.
Really?
And we all ate 90, like so much more of it because we weren't full on all the crap.
That was pretty clever. Look, it was handy having a dog growing up.
Oh.
Always the hand under the table. The dog. But mum hated Brussels sprouts. So it was perfect. So every veggie she cooked, I loved. How about you? Did you get the tough love with Mummy Pam?
Who likes Brussels sprouts? I mean, seriously, no one likes Brussels sprouts. I like them now.
I do.
Do you?
You fry them. You actually
with
put
bacon.
Them and you fry them and they're actually beautiful.
Okay.
What did Pammy do?
I remember one day Dad had me under the table for up to at least 4 hours, I would believe, because he pulled the belt out of the trousers and he said, you get up here. Mm. And finish your vegetables otherwise. And I just stayed there. I actually waited till Dad went to bed.
Oh, did you?
He got too tired.
It's a battle of the minds, isn't it? It's stubborn. But they reckon the naysayers say that this causes obesity, making you want to eat everything on the plate. Come on, it's about the veggies, right?
Yeah, Rod, what happened to you?
Mum just had to utter two words, ice cream. There was going to be no ice cream if you didn't finish the rest of it.
That's right.
So Rob McLeod was licking his plate.
There you go, Mum. So how were you disciplined by your parents when it came to food? Did you have to sit there till you finished it?
At the dinner table.
Did you get in trouble if you didn't eat all of it? We'd like to know all the tips and what you were punished with.
Yeah, did you trade it off with your siblings?
Yeah.
Bloke in Europe's been penalised by the law for having his child at the table who wouldn't eat their Brussels sprouts. And the poor child sat there for 13 hours.
I tell you, parents can be stubborn, but so can kids.
Oh, it's a big showdown.
A standoff.
It is. It's a massive showdown, but it is funny, but it gets to you at the end.
13, 27, 10 with your... How were you disciplined? Give us a call here, 13, 27, 10. Here's a classic story from our producer, Camille. What happened?
So we were a bit like Rod McLeod, so we weren't allowed to have dessert until we'd finished everything on our plate.
Yeah.
So when Mum would go to the bathroom or go to the other end of the house, my sister and I would quickly run outside and we'd throw all our vegetables over the balcony, just straight over.
Yeah.
But the only problem with that was our grandparents actually lived downstairs. And so in the morning, Grandpa would get up and there would be carrots and vegetables and bits of potato all over their front porch.
Oh, that's classy. I love it.
Sometimes as a kid, you'd rather eat your booger than what your mum serves you on.
Especially when your mum's undies and she serves you up this rubbish. And she calls it rubbish, and it is rubbish.
Your mum's name is undies. You need to explain that instead of your mum's undies. Because, please. A Quebec man forced his daughter to stay at the table for 13 hours over an uneaten Brussels sprout. You two were forced Brussels sprouts, weren't you?
Yes, we were.
Yes,
I think everybody was. And all the different disciplines, if it was you threw it over the balcony or were you left at the table. We want to know, how were you disciplined as a kid?
Anthony at Labrador, were you disciplined? Morning.
G'day, AJ, Bridge and Spy. How are we, Jay? Guys, Bridge and
AJ. The whiz.
Yeah, I was the same. I hated Brussels sprouts too. Like, I could smell mine as soon as I could get off the bus where Mum was cooking them, three, four doors down, right in Rosebud, and no word of a lie, they were the most disgusting smelling things, and then I'd chuck a U-turn and walk straight to the shops. And then I'll wait until about 5:30 because we had 5 o'clock dinners too. So I'll wait until 5:30, 6 o'clock, wait for Mum to finish her dinner and everything. Then I'd go home. Then I'd have mine and I'd throw them out.
Don't blame you, Liz.
How do you go with them now? Can you do them?
No way. I can't stand them. Neither can my kids. Yeah. They're weird, eh?
Yeah, they are.
They are weird. Yeah.
And you're
like,
not.
It's like eating oysters. Like I can eat oyster Kilpatrick, but I can't eat normal oysters. Yeah. You know, I tried diving and scraping them off the rocks. No way, I dispute on them. They're shocking.
Thanks, Wiz.
No worries, guys. Good morning.
He's a father of four, a decorated AFL legend, winner of the Western Port High Grade 4 Knitting Prize. And he's not afraid to speak his mind. This is Spider Spray, hitting the important and not so important issues.
We really don't think you should do this, Peter.
This is important.
Is that your disclaimer? That we are not involved?
No, we're not involved at all, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
Look, this is an important subject, and as hard as it is to hit on the head and bring up, it needs to be brought up. And it happens in this building, and everyone's fed up with it. And not only in this building, I reckon it'll be a Kirribilli house, to a supermarket, to your workplace, wherever you are. And I don't want this to happen anymore, and it's time to stand up, and we want to stand up as a nation. And I'm saying enough is enough for the GT stripe. Left on the toilet bowl. Mr. Hankey's love mark, the toilet skid mark. We're saying no. A lot of people do it at home. No, you know what? I'll do it at home because then someone else is going to clean it up. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is with people in this building. If it's their dairy, not enough wheat, we'll eat more wheat. Too much fat, high in fibre, more lentils, beans, pears or apples. It doesn't matter what, when, where and why. Clean it up. Now, not all toilets are sonoglass, which helps prevent the Mr. Hankey skid, but...
Oh, my God.
Many say, many people sit there and go, a lot of people, even in this building, do not want to have to go to the toilet and then have to clean up after somebody else. I've got a semi-solution. Semi-solution is unisex toilets.
No, why?
Because us as males, we can go in there and we can blast it. We can blast it away. That's our job. That's our mission. We can go in there and get the job clean without having a brush if there is no brush.
I will say, though, it is disgusting that I work with females in this building that I eyeball every day that do leave a mess in the toilets. It's not hard. Clean up after yourself.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Outside of that, there are only two other solutions. You can go out into the back deck or into the backyard of your workplace and take a doggy bag.
Oh, even, come on.
Even better, get a walker and then someone will pick it up for you.
Like a dog walker.
Leave Mr. Hanky at home. You're an idiot. If you don't want to clean it up.
Seriously.
You've been sprayed by spider.
Oh, yuck. Oh, don't. You shouldn't have played that at the end of that, Ben.
It's Gold 92.5's Give Me Five for Kids, helping sick kids of the Gold and Tweed Coasts. To find out more or donate, go to goldfm.com.au.
Life is a journey where you stumble and fall, but I'm okay when I lie down in your arms.
11 to 8, H.A. Bridget Spider. It's year 2018 and our Give Me Five for Kids, where we seek as much money as we can to buy much needed equipment for the children's ward of the Gold Coast and Tweed Hospital. Here's another story. This is Karina talking about Jackson.
So at 30 weeks gestation, we had a general scan, which picked up an issue with his heart. By 32 weeks, it was confirmed with hyperplastic left heart syndrome. Once he was born, 4 days old, he had his first open heart surgery.
4 days.
Yeah, 4 days old.
How was that for you? I mean, you've just given birth.
Probably the scariest moment of my life. Mm. It was about a 9-hour procedure before we got back with him and was able to see him again.
What were the percentages that the doctors were saying of the risk involved in this?
So we were actually recommended to terminate or use palliative care. They have to give you the three options, which is, termination, palliative care or surgical.
Oh, my goodness.
We chose the surgical route for us. We have appointments weekly, but mainly at Gold Coast, but we see a lot of teams at Gold Coast to, kind of help with as much as we can.
And they do an amazing job, don't they?
They do. They've been gone above and beyond for us. Jackson's nonverbal, so he sees speech therapist. Our cardiology is at Gold Coast. We were actually in the process of getting a service dog for him.
Yeah. Oh.
That we have to privately source and train because they don't give them to children under five. And we don't have a guarantee that he will live that long. Before Jackson was born, we took everything for granted. Our things we used to worry about was our first child having a snotty nose.
Yeah.
Now we pretty much have to be completely disinfected and, simplest thing affects them when they have these conditions.
Yeah, poor little Jackson really struggled too. Thank you, Karina, for the story on Jackson, but he's getting better.
He is. He was a beautiful little boy and he was running around here, around all the departments, having a great time. But it does put everything into perspective for his parent.
Yeah, and this Friday, if you want to be involved, we got at the Club Parkwood, the Club Parkwood Village. We got a massive big festival of golf. We've got golf happening. The golf simulator is going to be up and running. Mini golf is going to be there as well. We want as many people to come down and participate, be a part of it, because, as we say, we are trying to raise as much money as we can. The big festival of golf.
Yeah, and if you can help out, goldfm.com.au or 1327 10.
Don't.
No, look, I like traditions. Oh. I like traditions, but gee, you've got your knickers in a knot.
How can you see my knickers?
Well, they're
dirty,
in a
knot. Dirty Gertie. Why are you looking at my knickers? All right, before I go on about this, please explain.
What?
Why? I was in a meeting the other day and they're saying, State of Origin 24th. I'm going, no, it's, what date's the Wednesday? 24th. Everyone in the meeting is cool with the fact this State of Origin is on a Sunday.
What's the problem?
Why is it on a Sunday?
Well, you know what? State of Origin's never been just to a Wednesday. State of Origin didn't start being on a Wednesday until the mid-80s. And then even through the 90s, early 90s, it was played on Mondays. Late 90s, it was played on Fridays. So it was never, ever structured on a Wednesday night. of recent years, yes, it has been. But this is going to be the fourth time it's played on a Sunday. And the idea behind playing it on a weekend is the fact that they can have a standalone weekend for Origin. They can showpiece a thing that's never going to get any smaller. They can showcase this to everybody. More importantly, the players can back up the following weekend for their club footy.
Oh, diddums.
Well, do you want the Cowboys to have your JTs?
Oh, and, come on.
Well, when the Cowboys had four players in the Origin, you would have wanted to play the next weekend. So you got to think of the sides that have a lot of Origin players. So the people who love their weekend sport want to see the good players playing. And then on the other side of that, the families, they haven't got work and school to combine with, they can actually get a better crowd there and family orientate the Origin.
Hang on a minute. So what about, though, why this middle game? Why didn't they do it for the first game?
Well,
and there wasn't a Monday. There might have been a Monday and a Friday, an odd one, but it's always been a Wednesday.
But they want to actually do the whole three games as a standalone. Because this is
one
of the biggest sporting events in the country is the State of Origin. Why waste it on a Wednesday and not having the players back up, have three standalone weekends and showcase this internationally, nationally, all to the bush?
Why have the first one then? On a Wednesday. Why have the second one on a Sunday?
Because they're trialling it over the weekend to see if they could have the three games standalone. It takes them years to prepare their rosters and their schedules.
Well, how about my roster and schedule?
Okay, well, you
Because
tell
how
us.
About you guys? Would you like your Anzac Day, Collingwood and Essendon, just play it on a Saturday?
No, it's Anzac Day.
How about the MCG Grand Final on a Tuesday? I mean, there's parades, there's luncheons, there's functions, there's butchers I've got to get to, there's people I have to harass the day before, there's people I have to call. It is a tradition since I was a child that you go in your maroon or your blue and you have that bit of a, you know, biff with your workmates the day before. It's a tradition.
Bridge, you have a supporter. Lisa, hello at Narang.
Hi, how you going?
Good.
I reckon it should stay Wednesday. I just don't think this Sunday is going to be good.
Lisa, you're out of whack too, aren't you? You're not organised for Sunday.
I am because I'm going to be hungover on Sunday.
That's
and
right.
I'm not going to enjoy the game exactly on Sunday night.
Well, you've got to take some responsibility and make sure
you're
right.
Hang on. You can deal with a little bit of a hangover on Thursday knowing there's 2 days left, but on a Monday heading into your week with a bit of a heavy head, that's different, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It needs to be on a Wednesday.
Thank you, Lisa.
I love it on a weekend.
Thank you. I reckon
showcase one of the biggest spectacles.
This hasn't been a tradition for you growing up, Peter. This hasn't been a tradition where you've grown up supporting it and being dressed in blue the day before. Karen and Helensvale, what do you think?
I don't mind it being a standalone and I don't mind it being on a weekend. But at 8 o'clock Sunday night, utterly ridiculous.
Terrible.
If they want to make it the focus, put it on Saturday night. People have got a weekend to recover and take the kids. They've got a day to rest, not 8:20 or 8 o'clock.
I agree.
It's really,
with that.
Very sad for the kids. That's right. It's sad for the kids. Thank you, Karen.
Brian at Tweed Heads, what do you think?
I reckon it's great having it on a Sunday, but it's a stupid time if you want to make it family orientated. And
yeah.
It's too late.
Yeah. It's all about ratings, isn't it, Brian?
Yeah.
Well, it's not really because they still rate on a Wednesday night. They'd be better off Channel 9 running their normal programming on a Sunday and then run this on a Wednesday because they're getting a free hit on a Wednesday. I think it could be moved to Saturday, but I love the standalone weekend.
You just confused me completely. You are jumping the fence. Gary and Coomera, what do you think? Are you happy with Sunday? Are you a purist like me? When do you want the game?
It's got to be Saturday night.
Yes.
They're going to troll on a Sunday. That gives everyone a chance for people to go to work.
Exactly right. Exactly right, Gary. And you know why too? Because you guys get your AFL grand final on a Saturday.
Okay.
We always have the grand final on a Sunday struggling.
And a public holiday on the Monday.
Can
we ring Toddy Greenberg and say Bridge is happy on a Saturday or not?
Yeah, I'm going to start a petition. It's on. All right, if you wanted a Saturday, that's the only waiver.
Okay, I'll ring
Otherwise, Wednesday. Just keep it as Wednesday. Just keep it as it is. I don't like change.
Is that done now?
I don't like change at all.
8:15. Gold money.
You right?
Gold
money. You okay? Thanks for your contribution, AJ, as per usual. Extremely good. Good on you, mate.
Hi, this is Wally Lewis. From 5 cents to $5, the month of June is about raising money for life-saving equipment for the children's wards of the Tweed and Gold Coast Hospital. Five for kids. Donation info at goldfm.com.au.
I wonder whether Wally would want the game on Sunday. No, sorry. I didn't mean to bring it up again. Gold 92.5, 23 past 8. We have Mr. Palmer, Clive, on the phone.
Yeah, we're another Queenslander who has an amazing poetry, like fried rice, fried lice. It's not nice. Don't think twice. Have vanilla slice. This is my favourite. Dung, did-a-dung, ding-a-ling-ding, ding-dung-dong, ning-wing-ding, all gone.
Yeah.
That is poetry.
I want that as my phone ringtone.
Yes, well, as we know, yesterday it was the press conference. You may have seen, I've seen on the Gold Coast Highway, all the Clive Palmer, the billboards everywhere. He is coming back, a return to federal politics at the press conference in Canberra yesterday. He was attacked by sprinklers. And Queensland MP Cathy O'Toole, whose seat of Herbert is home to Queensland Nickel.
These people are doing it tough, Clive.
Well, we've got to do something about the people of North Queensland. Can I answer your question, please? Can I answer your question? I want to explain that I don't owe anyone anything in North Queensland.
All right, well, he's here.
Okay, no worries, I'm here.
Yeah, yes. Here you are. Clive, we just ran a very, very quick but succinct phone poll here on the radio station at Gold 92.5 on the Gold Coast, and we didn't get a very positive reaction about you coming back to politics.
Well, of course you can't go on polls, but we've only been there one day. Most Australians don't know that Qantas remained Australian-owned because of our votes in the Senate, and most of the media hasn't reported stuff like that, so that's expected. But, you know, we've been getting quite the opposite reaction right around Australia.
Clive, what are the issues? What are the issues that you're most passionate about that you think Australians will go with you and vote for you again and the people around you?
Well, I think, you know, the average Australian is doing it pretty hard at the moment. We've got a AAA credit rating the Treasurer confirmed yesterday, and we should be trying to release more money into the economy so that their lives get better. I think, you know, the economic aspects of things is what we need to look at. Now, if you look at social issues such as, you know, we had gay rights, we had a whole lot of things on the agenda for Parliament. They all may be very important issues, but for the average Australian, they've got to support their family every day, pay their rent, and there's little focus given to Parliament or to the media to how that's going to happen. And more Australians are going backwards.
Well, Cathy O'Toole gave you a bit of a spray, and so did the sprinklers yesterday. I hope you didn't get too wet there. Well, what have you got to say about what Cathy O'Toole had to say about...
Well, first of all, when you call the press conference, it's extraordinary that a member of the House of Representatives comes down to disrupt the important work of the press. It wasn't a political event. It was to answer questions for media, and she dominated that event. Now, she didn't want to let people know the truth about Queensland Nickel. And the truth was that we offered cash to pay all the bills and to transfer all the workers and keep them going. And the administrator refused that, put in the liquidation, got $10 million in fees from the taxpayer, and that's why he did it. That's where the incentive lies. It's like Brian Adams, I want to make the summer of 18 the best years of your life.
Oh, isn't that nice? Well, can I finish with one of your favourite poems? Fried rice, fried lice, it's not nice. Don't think twice, have a vanilla slice. Do you stick with that?
Well, certainly the Chinese are paying for a lot of my vanilla slices at the moment. sitting on $500 million of money that they've given to me, and we could have been used to ignite the country. You know, of course, we could have done more things about the country if they'd met their obligation. But people forget that. They forget that I'm the only person that stood up to the Chinese government's attempts to dominate this country and to close down our industries.
Thanks, Clive.
I am going to Hollywood.
Taylor. Talks. Tinseltown.
Scotty, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you every Tuesday. You're live in the United States now. A sad day. What is going on? We used to all rush home, watch it. Was it true? Was it false? Jerry Springer no longer.
What? Yeah, right now it is true. Staff members of his huge show, the Jerry Springer Show, got the word back in April. No new shows were going to be made. But here's the good news, guys. The show was dropped by one outlet, but picked up by the CW network. Right now the deal is only to air repeats of the show. And possibly new episodes if they're made. But right now, the staff is looking for a new job because no shows are going to be made again. No new shows, at least right now. Oh. They have enough episodes to run through the fall. And right now, Jerry's averaging about 1.7 million viewers on a daily basis, which makes it about the 57th most popular show in America. so. He still has some weight here in the States.
Yeah, well, he does, and we used to watch it. I know a lot of Aussies, whenever they went over to the US, they go, we just want to go and be in the crowd of Jerry Springer.
Yeah. Jerry, Jerry, Jerry.
Oh, we loved it.
Jerry, yeah. Yeah, it's a crazy, crazy show, you're right. And, you know, this guy has been around for 27 years. He's 74 now, and guys, he's worth $60 million. And I got to tell you, I've actually met Jerry a couple of times.
Yeah.
And I want to let you know that, you know, I spent a little time with him. A lot of people that I know spent a lot of time with him. He's extremely charming. He really listens to you and takes an interest in everything you do. And he's also very loyal. We also, you know, realize he's very creative. You know, he started that show just as a talk show and then added all the spice, all the sex, all the rock and roll and made it what it is today, which is really a legend in American television.
Well, it's weird because I thought it was cancelled about 10 years ago because we haven't had it here. I'd like to see the Scotty Taylor show. Scotty! That would go off.
Sign me up, I'm there, baby.
Now, speaking of, look, anyone in America can do anything. I mean, we've got a tycoon who's a reality star who's now the president. I mean, Scotty, are you going to run for president? Because if Kim Kardashian has now put a hand up for 2020... Yes, presidency. Oh. It's not possible, is it? Come on.
Well, you know, she said on CNN over the weekend, never say never. And, you know, she just kind of dived into the political realm by getting that pardon for Alice Johnson, who was in jail for 21 years. It took really one visit with President Trump, and she got that done. So I don't know. What do you guys think?
Oh.
Kanye West for president and Kim for vice president? Or should it be the other way around?
I reckon there'd be some huge parties at the White House. Imagine that.
Well, don't they? You know, there's always the big white parties over there. You'd have the white party at the White House.
Oh, they'd be having white parties for sure.
Yeah, it is going to be crazy. But here's the one thing that I think is against those two. Mm. You know, President Trump got elected with really the Midwest of America voting for him. I don't think Kim plays as well in the Midwest as she does in Hollywood. But guys, 2020 is a long 2 years away. Anything can happen. I'm thinking, Bridge, get over here. I'll run for president. Oh. You run for vice president.
Hey. Oh, I'll be your vice, or I'll be your first lady. Well, one thing's for sure, if you need to get your babies to sleep, if she was to do a presidential speech, it'll knock everyone out.
There you go. I love that.
You can use it.
Hey, guys. Love you, Gold Coast. Stay classy.
And parents, if you're in the car right now and you've dropped the kids off at home, it's really sad when you're hearing some pretty heavy news stories. And as we know, last week, a female comedian walking across the park on her way home at night, and she was, Miss Dixon was attacked. She was a Melbourne comedian, and it was a terrible way. She was raped and she was murdered. There's been amazing outpouring of grief and incredible tributes at the park. But a lady on the Today Show by the name of Miranda Devine, she's a columnist, and she's caused some controversy by saying that young women should use common sense and don't walk across a path at night. And she said, look, this poor young woman, it's not her fault, obviously. She's a blameless victim, but it's just prudent common sense to say to young women, don't cross a dark path.
Yeah.
At night. But look, you know, we're given all the warnings. And for my parents, I'm the youngest of six girls, and it's full on. We were told, beware of the man in the Sandman panel van. Obviously, you know, stay under the streetlights and be careful and don't walk down dark alleys. And sometimes it's a shortcut or whatever, and you think, I'll be okay, I'll do it.
But the hardest thing, and look, very sad, and seeing all the vigils overnight, amazing. From Tasmania, there's one in Perth tonight. In Melbourne, they had 5,000 up to 10,000 people there. But has it changed? Because you were doing it when you were growing up. You had to be smart as a female of when to go, when not to go, where to walk and how to walk. Because, you know, unfortunately, it doesn't matter in the society, it doesn't matter how much education we put out there,
there are
reptiles out there. And we can never change that. So we don't wish this upon anyone. And I know Princess Park, I've trained around Princess Park. It is a closed, a very dark, big area to walk through.
Yeah, and that's a tough thing. I mean, obviously you try to avoid those situations, that's for sure. But I was saying to my partner, Jamie, who pretty much stays over all the time now, and I said, I'm really loving you here because women, we always have to be vigilant. And I think for men, you don't understand that, yeah, you might get roughed up or whatever, but you don't have that fear of maybe I'm going to be raped or maybe something else is going to happen. And as women, you are constantly vigilant. Mm. But we're in a society with rideshare, with AirTasker, where you call up a stranger to pick you up. And
well, these days, it doesn't happen all the time in the dark alleys. This is the thing.
If That's right.
That reptile could hit somebody, you know, unfortunately, down at Broadbeach Beach here during the day. You don't know when these people are going
to
hit.
And I got an Uber driver the other day, and he's an older guy, and he has to take five-year-olds to school, six-year-olds to school every day. And, you know, as the police say, you might be police checked, but that just might mean that you've got away with it. It doesn't mean when you're police checked that you're okay.
I have a friend who had a female friend, and it happened last year. A man approached her from behind on Mermaid Beach and put her out, knocked her out, not physically, but used some form of
ammonia or something,
whatever it was, and she was taken away and raped, and that was in the broad daylight
exactly.
at Mermaid Beach here.
So. It is horrendous. I've been king hit before outside the Paddington Tavern trying to get into a taxi, and I tapped this guy on the shoulder, and he was getting in. I said, "Excuse me, sir, that's my." He turned around. I was king hit. I was knocked out on the ground and hit my head, and I was unconscious for quite a bit. And you just have to be vigilant. And this amazing post that's been reposted this morning, and this was first posted in March of 2015 from a journalist called Jane Gilmore, and she says, "Women, if you want to be safe, stay at home. Except that you're most likely to be killed in your home by someone who claims that they love you. So don't stay at home. Make sure you don't have a boyfriend because he's the most likely person to kill you. But don't go out with you without your boyfriend because you need someone to protect you. Don't show too much skin or laugh too loud or dance too much. But come on, love. Give us a smile. Carry your keys and your phone at all times and make sure you run far enough to burn off all those calories. But don't do it in public and, for God's sake, don't run in shorts. That's just asking for trouble. Public transport is dangerous, but so are taxis and walking and driving on your own. And did I mention that staying at home is really risky? So don't do any of things above and you'll be fine." And that's true. As women, you just can't win sometimes and you just don't feel safe.
John at Cabarita, what do you got to say?
Yeah, g'day, mate. Just want to relay a story of a friend who went to Singapore to live. They were a young couple, and he got transferred there. Now, she was obviously very anxious about going to a foreign country, but after a few months, she felt the most safest she's ever been anywhere in the world. Mm. And she could go running at 2 o'clock in the morning and feel completely safe.
Yeah, that's Singapore. Now,
beg your pardon?
That's Singapore. Their laws are different. They have a society there where they absolutely banish anybody that steps a foot wrong. So we'd love to be able to do that, but we're a long way from the rules of Singapore.
Well, you might say we're a long way from the rules, but isn't that a step in the right direction to make people feel safe?
Yeah.
Exactly right. I felt so safe in Fiji. I felt so safe in other countries too, where the law does handle these perpetrators exactly how they should be handled, not with a lettuce leaf. Now, this guy's claiming mental illness as well. I'm sorry. There is a woman who has lost her life in the hands of you, mate. You should be locked up.
No, one for one.
And girls need capsicum spray as well.
Yeah.
AJ, Bridge and Spider for breakfast.
Weekdays from 5 on 92.5 Gold FM.